The character description was simple. Cookie Monster meets Harpo Marx. Not so simple, finding a human being who could pull it off. In fact, the task was keeping John Landis, 27 years old and a hyperactive typhoon of energy himself, up at night. As director of Universal's frat house comedy, National Lampoon's Animal House, Landis knew he had to bag the right person for the pivotal role of John Bluto Blutarsky, the biggest animal in a movie stuffed with him. Bluto was id incarnate, a Rabelaisian slob with the potential to boost the picture to new, outlandish heights. He's a cartoon, was Landis's take on it. He is appetite. Early in the summer of 1977, the director made a short list of potential Blutos. On it were three names: rock star Meatloaf, Broadway actor Josh Mostel, and Saturday Night Live's John Belushi. Really, though, only one of those felt right. The other guys were backups, said Landis. All of my energy was going into trying to lock down John. Belushi was keen to crank up his movie career, which thus far consisted of a voice role in Tarzoon, Shame of the Jungle, a wretched 1975 animated comedy that extensively features a masturbating monkey. Animal House seemed like a no-brainer, but the barrel-chested Albanian was the dictionary definition of unpredictable. He was a decent guy, quick to hug and easy to warm to. If a kitten fell asleep on his chest, he'd wait rather than wake it. At the same time, he'd come out of the womb looking for trouble. In sixth grade, his gym teacher announced in class that he was the worst student in the school. So exasperated was she then kicked him in the balls. At SNL, he was a human hurricane, a wild man who referred to shows as goddamn suicide missions. When his castmates had whispered about how much they hated sharing the billing with Jim Henson's Muppets, Belushi yelled that he wanted to shoot the felt abominations with a gun. Around the same time, sick of a recurring skit involving a silly costume that he felt made him look fat, he griped to a Rolling Stone reporter, "You cannot put an actor in a bee costume and say, well, that funny dress will make up for the weak writing. Sure, they'll laugh at the antenna once or twice. After that, forget it. It's repetitive shit. I hate the fucking bees." All of this unsettled the executives at Universal. Belushi's antics might fly in the seat-of-your-pants world of late-night live TV, but could somebody that volatile be trusted to behave on a movie set with millions of dollars at stake? Belushi kept himself hemming and hawing. It would be his first real movie role, and he wasn't sure it was the right move. Landis was undeterred. He saw Belushi as the successor to nimble clowns like Fatty Arbuckle and Jackie Gleason, a gruff teddy bear with a hugely expressive face. As for that edgy energy which inspired Tony Hendra, director of the stage show Lemmings, to say, "I chose him because he projected the feeling of a homicidal maniac," well, that could be harnessed. Hopefully, if the star was kept away from booze and drugs. Picking somebody safer would be to use Belushi's favorite slang word, sucko. Finally, after much greasing up of both the star and the studio suits, Belushi was secured. Landis then found himself facing the opposite challenge, how to get rid of someone from SNL. He'd considered Bill Murray for the role of nice guy Boone and talked to Dan Aykroyd about playing Biker D-Day. But Aykroyd decided to stay put on the show, not wanting to leave Lorne Michaels shorthanded. There was no such issue with Chevy Chase, now a free agent, and whom Universal was more than happy to cast. In fact, Landis was issued an edict from on high: hire Chase or else. Landis wasn't about to be told what to do. A lunch was arranged at a swanky Los Angeles restaurant. Producers Ivan Reitman and Matty Simmons were there, plus Universal Vice President Sean Daniel.